Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. You know I love doing the show with you. So get in touch. Sos Tombe, Sbonisos Busiso Tuma, Mobulawa, where are you, all my people? Help me do the show tonight. Domza, also haven't heard from you in a while. Please feel free to share your voice notes on 063-688-0959. As mentioned earlier, we spoke to a large contingent of the CEOs of JSE-listed entities, all of whom represent proudly South African homegrown businesses. And they all touch us in very different ways, right, if you think about the operations. But one thing we must understand is that these entities started off as institutions, by entrepreneurs, small mom and pop shops that over the years then eventually got to evolve. So much of what we tried to share with you tonight was not just an understanding of their financial positioning, but also an understanding of their history, of their evolution, and most importantly, as we also heard from the various CEOs, how capital, but the adequate management of that capital, remained pertinent for them to grow as institutions. And this is what we're going to talk about today, especially when it comes to making sure that we as South Africans and Africans overall are able to invest in the continent. Now, you might be wondering, how do I do that when there are markets like Ethiopia, Cameroon, Morocco, Seychelles, and even Kenya that might seem far, but also have their own unique nuances that we need to understand putting our money into them? Well, these are just some of the themes that do come to mind, but that are not too far out for us to be able to accept and reach and understand. We're joined now by Client Director at Old Mutual Investment Group, Mpho Mtsi, who's going to give us some insight into the case for Africans investing in Africa and how we do that adequately. And this does come on the back of yesterday being the 25th of May, essentially celebrating Africa Day. Mpho, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Gugu, for having me.
Happy belated Africa Day, I guess. But great.
Happy Africa Day. Yes, it's so exciting to hear someone with as much excitement about Africa as I have at the moment. So thank you very much.
Well, I'm still trying to tick off so many more countries on my list when it comes to the continent. So far, I'm only like reaching 17, close to 20. So there's a lot more countries that I do need to travel on the continent. But maybe let's just start there. And for me as a South African, if there's anything that I've appreciated, whether I'm in Rwanda, in Ghana, in Cote d'Ivoire, or even Equatorial Guinea, there's just appreciation of the fact that South Africa is actually really a mature and industrialized market. If you look at our economic development, even the level of our press freedom, and even just, you know, our geographical landscape. But that doesn't leave, but it does leave me wondering and wanting to know, how do I contribute to the growth of these other countries across the African continent? So maybe let's just start there, because sometimes we think like, the borders are there for a reason. But the truth is, partnership, camaraderie, and investment is something that can flow. So help us just contextualize the opportunity that does exist.
Absolutely. So, you know, we were actually just presenting as an organization in Morocco only 2 weeks ago. And it's as much as you outline some of the differences perhaps between a South Africa and perhaps a country that is less developed, the truth is there's actually a lot more that unites us than what differentiates us. I recall, I don't know if it was our president who once said he wants to see South Africa looking like a construction site. Mm. We want to see that growth. The truth is that is the sentiment across our continent. Wherever you went in Casablanca, there was construction happening everywhere. And I remember commenting to some of the conference attendees, this is what we also want in our country. And the truth is, that is what we are seeing. Infrastructure development is top of mind for every country across our continent. That is what governments are speaking to. That is what's driving, for instance, governments saying we need to diversify where we're getting our debt so that we can fund the growth that our continent is so hungry for. You know, there's a statistic out that out of the 10 top fastest growing economies in the world, six of them are on our continent. Mm. So for this growth that the world is hungry for, truly our continent is where it's at. So that really is, I think, the common thread throughout the different African countries. And it should be something in the back of our minds, whether it's as individual investors or when we're thinking of our pension funds, etc.
100%. I'm so glad that you bring up that stat. And I know that it's one that's been referenced at least for the last 10 years. So if it tells us anything, is that there's a consistency in terms of the competitiveness of the economies on the African continent to continue to grow, even through COVID, even through geopolitical headwinds, even through commodity price crashes. So the opportunity still does lie there. But help us understand if the channels of actually accessing growth and investment opportunities on the continent are number one, easily accessible, and number two, viable. In other words, what options actually do exist for us to contribute to the growth we desire?
So I will mostly speak from really a listed equity perspective and listed debts, etc., because that is really at Old Mutual Investment Group where that is our, what we're strong at and what we focus on. And the truth is there's such a variety of ways to access investment in Africa right now, whether it's through private investments or your private companies, etc. There's private funds, infrastructure funds that are out there, people are investing, but there's also your listed stock exchanges. And for instance, if we just look at listed equities alone, there are two key drivers, and those drivers are also the two key places in which people have gotten their fingers burnt investing in Africa, and that is currency and valuation, the price. Now, for us, as an institution, when we say we are bullish, we believe this, there really hasn't been a time like now to invest in Africa. It's because those two key pillars are both looking positive at this point in time. So when you look at currency, for instance, the biggest concern people have had about investing in Africa is that I'm going to go invest in a Nigerian business, but I will struggle to get my money back out, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard that story many a time. The truth is, you know, currencies, managed currencies, for instance, like the Nigerian naira or the Egyptian pound, will often experience periods of sharp devaluations relative to the dollar, for instance, and then periods of calm. So 2024 was one of those periods where you saw these sharp devaluations, particularly of those two currencies that I mentioned, for example.
And if I can jump in there, just for the benefit of everyone who's listening, currencies don't just fluctuate because someone decides it's a good day or it's a bad day. There's often a trigger, right? And in the Nigerian case in point, there were shifts within their central bank in Nigeria. Rules also changed around the regulation of what they call the currency on the black market versus the formalized market and how they rate. Okay. So I think that's also important just for us to underscore and for everyone to know that these currencies don't just change at a whim. There's usually a reason that is justifiable, right?
100%. Thank you very much for adding that. So with these sharp movements that happen where the value now of the naira that you held drops within, you know, a short space of time, you know, that has an impact on the value of people's investments. So we've seen those devaluations happen last year. So what we're seeing now is that stability that comes after the storm. And in spite of everything that's happening, in spite of the global turmoil that we see. Now, if I move on to the valuation side, so the price that is out there for the various stocks across our continent. The truth is, when we look at the value of our stocks as Africans across the board, compared to your global equities, which are actually heavily concentrated in U.S. tech stocks.
Yes, Magnificent
Seven. Which are
very
expensive right now. So if you compare that, you know, and that is a measure that our portfolio managers would take a look at. They'll look at the price versus the earnings. How expensive is it to get some exposure to these stocks? And the truth is, it is highly expensive to get into American stocks and global stocks right now. But we believe African stocks are heavily undervalued. If we look at what we call PE ratios, the price equity, price earnings ratios, you can actually see that those ratios are running below in the bottom quarter of what they've been historically.
Oh, my.
That means there's a lot of opportunity for growth of the value of African stocks. So I mentioned those are the two key pillars where people have gotten their fingers burnt, or which are the two biggest drivers of African equities. And I've explained now, you can see it's a positive on a currency front. We're seeing some stability. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it is impacted by global events, etc., but definitely not the sharp devaluations we saw last year. And then from a valuation point of view, we're seeing cheap, the stocks are deeply undervalued. And that is now an opportunity for an investor to come in and benefit when the world starts to wise up and see the value in those companies.
I love it. So for anyone who's listening and perhaps thinks of the Namibian Stock Exchange, the Kenyan Stock Exchange, what we see in the Nigerian Stock Exchange, that basically means that there's an opportunity for you to invest in some of those companies that are listed there. Because as you've mentioned, the valuation, but also the currency declines have actually reached a level of stability. So calm waters for us to actually place our bets for the long term. One thing I'm keen to also get your thoughts on here, Mpo, that also comes up from a lot of people who question investment opportunities on the African continent, liquidity. And that just speaks to how, you know, quickly, you know, there's movement in terms of the market and getting your money in and out of the market. Talk to us about that. Is that still a theme and a concern that remains?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, liquidity also is a function of sometimes it's the stock markets across our continent are much smaller. Trades aren't happening as often as you would see in the New York Stock Exchange or even the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, for example. So the companies are either very small, there's limited free float, so free flowing shares that's happening and lots of trades happening. So that illiquidity is a factor. And one thing I do actually want to mention is that across the board, in everything that I'm saying, as positive as I'm sounding, I'm not delusional. We are not delusional. Yes. There definitely are risk factors in investing in Africa. But what we're saying is that in spite of that, it's still looking extremely attractive. It's an incredible component of a well-diversified portfolio. And really, the case still remains. So going back to illiquidity, you know, what one thing that we've highlighted is that if you're going to invest, and then you asked the means of investing, for instance, really, it's trusting institutions such as ourselves that have feet on the ground, have a depth of experience investing in African markets, and therefore the ability to understand that, for instance, investing in Africa is not like investing in a Microsoft, where you're just putting your money in there and you want to benefit from the returns. Investing in Africa forces a different way of looking at things. So even for our portfolio managers, it forces a way of thinking of the traditional forms of technical analysis and risk management and alter it for African markets. 100%. So we spend a lot of time on the ground, in fact, engaging with those underlying companies, engaging with regulators, engaging with governments and ministers to ensure that we actually understand those nuances of our African companies. And that illiquidity is one of those nuances that you must really be more strategic about when you enter and exit your positions.
I'm so glad that you mentioned this, right? Because it becomes so critical. We're not saying to anyone that, you know, if you meet Kuku off the street and I say, give me 100 million rand, I'll take you to Nigeria. No, that's not how it works. There are investment professionals like yourselves at Old Mutual Investment Group. As you said, boots on the ground, you understand the businesses, you understand the environment, you even understand the regulatory controls, which also become a factor that need to be managed. I'm so excited, and I think you can tell I'm intrigued, and I want us to go into the euro bond as well as debt. But I guess for the benefit of everyone, perhaps let's just simplify that if you're not going to buy companies that are listed on these stock exchanges, there are other ways of buying the country's debt as well. But on that note, the avenues and the channels, right, and Paul, because someone might be listening and think, well, this is a great opportunity, but how do I access these markets? Talk us through that as well.
So there's various avenues. So for instance, a lot of the investments that we manage are actually held within people's retirement funds. Mm. So, you know, it's important for people to look at what their retirement funds are actually being invested in and ask questions about that. Also, as individuals, you can invest in unit trusts, for example, where you get that exposure to a portfolio that is managed by portfolio managers like ourselves who will, you know, exercise that caution, but also invest responsibly on behalf of all of our investors. So there's various avenues essentially to access. And really, you can visit our website to really get a lot more detail about how you as an individual, how you as a corporate, or perhaps for in your retirement fund, for instance, can access those investments.
100%. Paul, we'll leave it here for today, but I can't wait. You know, just looking at the report that you've shared, man, I have a lot more countries to tick off the list here. But not just to travel to, you're reminding us as well to actually evaluate our pension fund reports and actually make sure that we have some money allocated right across the continent for growth and investment too. Such a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you so much, Gugu. And I urge you to visit our website, allmutualinvest.com. You'll get a lot more information. And hopefully I'll join you on one of those travels. You must actually join our portfolio managers and get to engage with those underlying companies and see what incredible growth really we're anticipating for our beautiful continent.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Mpho. Truly appreciate it. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and learned a thing or two in terms of growth and development. That's Mpho, who's a client director at Old Mutual Investment Group. And I think this is so important, right? Because in as much as we know in South Africa, we've got companies like the Pick and Pays, like the Barlow Worlds, like the Altrons that we spoke to earlier. There are businesses of this nature that exist in all these other countries. In Nigeria, of course, perhaps top of mind, companies like Access Bank and the likes of businesses that are run by Dangote Group also come to mind within the cement and the flour mill space. Those are businesses that you can invest in, that are true to the Nigerian spirit in terms of entrepreneurship and growth and development. Same thing in markets like Egypt, Benin, Cote d'Ivoire, Angola, which is also rich in terms of natural resources like oil. So if this doesn't give you an indication of the growth opportunities that exist, our next guest is going to amplify this even further. He is the chairman and founder of Brand Africa. And if you know anything about making sure that we understand the optimism of African brands, the trends, and of course how they continue to evolve, my next guest is going to give us a lot of insight into that and provide a lot more clarity. I'm always excited when I speak to him. He's always so serious and excited when he speaks to me. So we're just going to take a quick breather and play our ads. But when we come back, we'll be speaking to Tebe Galafeng, chairman and founder of Brand Africa, in just a moment.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.